If you have a look at, we'll start with Isaiah chapter 5 and work our way through to the New Testament. Did you enjoy the doctor last week? Yes. He reads in Greek. I read in Samoan. Hallelujah. We're sharing on hope. How you endure, how you survive. Maybe that's not the right word, survive. You're trying to make it. We're talking about a hope that anchors our souls, that brings us through from one year to the other, one season to the other, and the working of faith and hope and love. Because many times we categorize them, but often God just string them together, and how you manage faith and hope as you live. We live by faith, we walk by faith, but faith is a substance of hope. So they go together. And then the Bible says, it's not circumcision or uncircumcision that matters. What matters is faith that worketh by love. Faith that worketh by love, and faith is a substance of the hope that we have. Are you okay? So they all go together. They mend together. They mash together. They dovetail together. And many times we've been talking on faith, but often we haven't touched on hope. It's like hope is something that we... But we're talking on this hope that anchors our soul through the midst of everything that may be going wrong. Where David said, God is my refuge and strength, and even though the mountains may be removed and cast into the sea, I will not fear. Why? Because God is my refuge and my strength. There is a hope in God and a faith that is anchored in God. Are we all right? So, chapter 5 of Isaiah, verse 13 says, therefore, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. You go into captivity not because the devil is powerful, not because we are weak, but because we have no knowledge. You can have a great car, but you have no knowledge on how to look after it. It will do you no good. If you don't know how to drive the car, you might as well not have one. Why? There's no knowledge of how to use what you have. I read a story of a Red Indian chief who found oil and gold in his field. So he was very well off. So he bought the most expensive car he could find and put in the front of the car horns, ox horns. And it was really, really beautiful. And every week he comes to town on this beautiful car towed by horses. And sitting in it, and he was very proud of it. Why? Because just because he's got a beautiful vehicle does not mean it was useful to him in that sense, because he had no knowledge on how to operate the vehicle. Many times we have a Bible. In fact, most people that are not even saved got Bibles, but the Bible does them no good because they have no understanding of it. And Isaiah, God said through Isaiah, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Now, keep that in mind, because we're heading into the New Testament. We'll look at Isaiah chapter 4. Hosea. Daniel. Hosea. All right? So just go to the right of your Bible, chapter 4. And verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Again, you're not destroyed because all of a sudden the devil is powerful. You're not destroyed because all of a sudden there are viruses. No, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And then it says this, because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me, like what Jack was sharing this morning, garments of praise, we're priests unto God. He said, I will reject you as a priest to me. Now that's a grave thing to say. You're destroyed for lack of knowledge, and because you have no desire for godly knowledge, he said, I'll reject you from being a priest to me. I reject you from being a priest to me because you have forgotten the law of your God. I also will forget your children. Now that's a concern. Because many of our children, if we are not careful, are going the wrong way, even the children of those that love the Lord. He said, I'll reject you from being a priest to me, and I'll forget your children. But the key is this thing, knowledge. He said to Isaiah, said to Hosea, my people are destroyed, not because all of a sudden the devil is so powerful and the world is so dark. The world is dark. But the light shines up, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Hallelujah. But things happen because there's a lack of knowledge. If you ever look at Romans chapter 5, I did say we are going that way, all right? Romans chapter 5, we'll look at that again. We shared that about two Sundays ago. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, find out what it's there for. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified by faith. We have peace with God. We are reconciled to God. We have peace with God, justified by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ, through what Christ has done, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But it says this, we have access by Christ, what he's done. We have been, there's peace between God and us because of what Christ has done. And then he says, in whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So we access something we are standing on. We access grace, but we are standing on grace. Now, many people try to access, they try to get into something they already have. And often the devil will tell them, you're not free. So they are always trying to get free. And sometimes it frustrates me to see people trying to get free when they are already free. You're standing on grace, you're accessing grace, but you're trying to find grace when you're standing on the stuff. Now, if you don't know that you're free, if you lack knowledge of your freedom, guess what? You're not free. You're always trying to struggle to get free. What's the name of that escape artist that Houdini? Houdini will escape from anything. And one time he said, I can open a prison cell, no problem. So they locked him in the prison cell to get out. And he worked on the thing, and he worked on the thing, and he worked on it. and sweat was pouring out because you realize that he can't open the cell. The cell was actually not locked. And many Christians, because of lack of knowledge, don't know that they're standing on what they are wanting to get. They already have it. Are you okay? And live like beggars instead of living like sons and daughters. What's the problem? Lack of knowledge. So it says, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory. Why do we glory in tribulation? Because we are standing on grace. Why do we glory in difficulties? Because we are standing on grace, accessing grace by faith. And what did Paul say? When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because the power of God is made perfect in my weakness. God said to Paul, my grace will always be sufficient. There's not a demon that can overcome grace. But if you don't know that, are you all right? So he says, not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance or patience. Now, James said something powerful. He said, if you allow patience to have its work in you, you will be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Well, that's either that's in the Bible, you know what Jack was sharing this morning? All scripture are God. So they're not just words, they are breathed on by the Spirit of God. And that breath gave life to Adam, and that breath gave life to your spirit. If you confess with your mouth that, are you all right? That Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. He is raised from the dead. So resurrection has already happened. We are not waiting for resurrection. We are waiting for the resurrection when Jesus returns. But resurrection has already happened. Death has already been conquered. Hinemoy just changed address. She's not dead. The body's in the grave, but Hinemoy is in heaven. Are you okay? Can I preach on? He says, tribulation worketh perseverance, or worketh patience, and patience character. Now the King James says patience experience. You wait, you experience something in God. And the more you experience, character that trusts God is formed. You trust him. Patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad our hearts by the Holy Spirit. God actually loves you. And God likes you. Some people go right through their lives trying to find out if God loves them, and their whole adventure is to find love, not knowing that they are already loved. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But trying to convince somebody of some people of that is work. And yet they're standing on grace, but they don't know what they are standing on. Are you all right? Hallelujah. So when that happens, if you read the rest of chapter 5, it's amazing. He said, because of that, you got this faith that justifies us. You got this hope. And then you got this love. You know, faith, hope, and love always work that way. And then Paul said this in verse 8. But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9 is powerful. It says, much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Much more. Much more. And then it says in verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We live his life. We live the power of his life. We live the grace of his life. Much more. You were reconciled. I was reconciled. While we were still doing our stuff. If that's what happened then, much more now that we are saved. Verse 15, same chapter. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to gift of God, gift by grace, right? Standing on grace, accessing grace. You're not trying to get there. That's where you are now. You don't have to earn any stuff to get there. Otherwise, it's no longer grace. But that's where you are right now. And many are trying to get in when they're already in. I tell people when I speak to them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so easy, it's difficult. It's like trying to get into a room that you are already in. You're already in the room, but you're trying to get into the room. Hallelujah. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. You're not righteous because you try to live right. That's law. And there are people, oh, I'm trying to live right. But well, you're already righteous. It's imputed to you by God. It's a gift. Just like your breathing is a gift. Are you trying to breathe? Are you trying to earn your air? You're trying to earn your air? No. Comes by grace. Even the unsaved can breathe. The worst sinner breathes. It's grace. And it says, if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one. You reign in life. That doesn't mean you boss over everybody, but you reign over your circumstances. You reign over the difficulties that come. Why? Because tribulation worketh patience. And we glory in that because we are standing on grace. Are you okay? You know that verse, where sin abounds, the grace much more abound. So this hope that we have, that anchors our souls in Christ and what he's done. And we share that last time we talked. So if you go to Hebrews, we'll come back to Romans. If you go to Hebrews chapter 6, talking about Abraham, verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. There's no one greater than God, so God made a promise to Abraham, and God can't say, well, I swear on the Bible, on the name of Almighty God. No, he's God. God made a promise to Abraham, but that promise was not just to Abraham. That promise was to everyone that has the similitude of Abraham's faith. So whether you live in Whanganui, or you live in Mangaweka, or you live in Samoa, if you have that same kind of faith, you're a child of Abraham, and God made a promise to your dad. And the promise to your dad is also a promise to you. Are you okay? Verse 14, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He experienced the promise. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience. Experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And much more now that we are reconciled to God. Much more. Are you okay? Let's read on. For men, verse 16. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of the dispute. So you swear by somebody greater than you. So that's why when you go to the court of law, you put your hand on the Bible, because there's no one greater than God. So you swear by somebody greater than you. But when the oath is given, the matter is settled. Are you okay? Thus, verse 17, God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of Abraham, the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. He gave his counsel, he gave his promise, he gave his word, and then he himself confirmed his word by an oath. His word that is settled in heaven forever. He gave that word, he gave a promise, and then just to make it abundantly clear to the heirs of that promise, he confirmed the promise with an, talk to me, oath. And then the Bible says, by two immutable things, it is impossible for God to lie. What are the two things? His word and his oath. His word, his promise, and his oath. I give you my word, and I swear by my name that I'll fulfill my word. That heaven is prepared for you. Hello? So, Sonny and Daphne and Carol and get told off by Mrs. Green for talking too much. Are you okay? Thus, God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for a refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Lay hold. Now, I can't lay hold on it for you. You will have to lay hold of it for yourself. Lay hold of the hope that is before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters by the presence behind the veil, both sure and steadfast. Sure and steadfast. We are more blessed than we think. We are more free than we think. But this hope just grounds our souls, sure and steadfast. Are you okay? So if you go back to Romans chapter 8, in verse 24. For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? This is the working together of faith and hope and love. Hope is always, and we look to that hope with eyes of faith. Some of that hope can be brought to now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that we can't see. That's why we have to look to the unseen. Our light afflictions are but for a moment, but work for us a far more exceeding and eternal, weight of glory, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. That hope, and the Bible says, this hope saves us. I mean, you don't get, that's not salvation. Salvation, we are saved by grace through faith. But why does it say we're saved by hope? It allows us to walk through the floods, the hills, the valleys, the pain. Why? Because we have this hope that anchors our soul, and that hope saves us from throwing everything away. Don't throw away your confidence. It has rich recompense of reward. Don't throw it away. Some people, you know, a little light affliction, I'm finished with God. Well, bless your darling heart and stupid head. This hope anchors our souls, and that hope saves us from throwing everything away. I'm not angry. I'm just trying to emphasize a point. Are you all right? Well, that was the introduction. That was the introduction, just trying to recap where we came from. But my message this morning is from 2 Peter. And I don't think I'll be able to preach it But we can preach it next week. What do you think? So next week, you know the introduction of the message is done. So we'll just start on the message next week. What do you think? No, not the week after, because next week we'll be in Wainuiomata, in case you turn up and say, where is that guy? You got to finish his message. But let me just introduce the message for the next time. It says this, 2 Peter 1. I'll just read a few verses, make an introduction, then we'll have communion. Is that good? All right. Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to whom who have obtained like precious faith. All right? The children of Abraham have the same faith, standing on the same grace, given the promise that was given to your dad. And that same faith is the same faith that Peter the apostle had. And he said, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness, that is the gift we shared before, the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace. When you stand on grace, you access grace. Where sin abound, grace much more abound. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Now, how can grace be multiplied? And how can peace be multiplied? Through knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people have gone into captivity for lack of knowledge. But lack of knowledge will bind you, will destroy you. But godly knowledge and understanding causes the grace that you're standing on, to be multiplied. The grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Are you okay? Verse 3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue. It says, his divine power has given to us a few things. All things. The divine power, hallelujah, has given to us all things that pertain to life. So everything that pertains to life and godliness comes to us and are already us, but it comes by the knowledge. If you don't have knowledge of what you have, you'll be struggling to have what you have when you already have it. Hallelujah. The cross will do you no good if you have no knowledge of it. And when I say about the cross, I'm not talking about the piece of wood. I'm talking about the finished work of the man that hung on the cross. Now, you may take communion and it doesn't benefit you because you have no knowledge. And having all this will profit you nothing if you have no knowledge of it and don't partake of it. Are you all right? If you're watching by live stream or if you're here, all this will do you no good unless you have knowledge of it and take advantage of that. You can come to church until the day you die and go to hell on roller skates if you have no knowledge of what has been provided for you. But when you have, it's a phenomenal thing. Much more, much more, much more. Because we understand, we have knowledge of it. I remember in a particular church I shared on baptism. And the next, can I have those ministering the emblems to come? The next time they had a baptismal service, the pastor's wife got baptized. And I asked her, what happened? She said, I've never been baptized. I said, why not? She said, I never saw the need of it. I didn't even know that I had to be baptized. And she was not the senior pastor's wife. She was the wife of one of the pastors. Oh, here is a woman in ministry that had no knowledge of what ministry was all about. No knowledge of what the basics of our Christian faith is all about. Hallelujah. It's a marvelous thing to know the Lord. Hallelujah. In Samoa, there is a particular court in Samoa called the Lands and Titles Court. And many people go to that court to defend their titles and their properties. But some people go to that court to steal the title from another family and steal their land. And many a people with the real title, that's their inheritance, have lost their title and lost their land because somebody comes. They have a bit of knowledge of what's happening, and the people that own the title and the land don't have any knowledge of what they've got. So their land is stolen. Their title is stolen. A thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy. I am come that you might have life and life more abundantly. But it comes by knowledge of the Lord.